Greetings everyone, I am Apostle Patricia Apollo. It is the 10th of September 2019 and today my teaching will be focusing on Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1 to 10. Okay, so we're going to start off in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Here we can see that Apostle Paul identifies those that the letter is written to as saints and faithful in Christ. To be faithful means that you are an obedient follower and that you believe. The key definition of faith is obedience unto laboring in faith as we respond to God's grace. And also believing, which is to acknowledge, mold with, and submit to the truth of Jesus Christ. A willingness to reflect, rehearse, and reciprocate the knowledge of the covenant to God through charity. A willingness to yield to the Spirit as you are tested through each cycle of growth. This takes effort to choose Christ over self. And many times we may need to become more diligent with the tools in order to achieve the goal of keeping our minds stayed on Christ by using that which is our spiritual warfare that we may overcome self, Satan, and the world. So to be called faithful is to commit your soul into God's care that He may be the governor of your destiny. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Here the element of grace and peace is brought out in such a way as to be a gift unto the faithful. The key definition of the element of grace is for communication. It reveals Christ to us as it illuminates and enlightens and awakens the soul to perceive Christ. To become aware of God, as peace assists us through the agitation of the transition of our soul from darkness to the light of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the binary relationship that grace has with faith and peace has with rest to gain more understanding of what Apostle Paul was bringing to the attention of the saints in the early church. Through the knowledge that comes through stewardship, we can understand how truth works upon the soul. Let's read verse 2 again. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So God issues grace and peace for a purpose, to get a response from us so that we may experience the unity of fellowship for the purpose of increase. God issues grace to the soul to draw faith from the heart. Faith is not possible without grace, because they share a binary relationship. God initiates contact for the purpose of reciprocation. Peace and rest share a binary relationship. God initiates towards the believer with peace to assist us through the transition as the soul takes on the likeness of Christ. Our response is to labor with the things of Christ, which allows us to rest in God's knowledge by the activity of our priesthood. We are separated through our walk of faith from the tiresome labor that comes from false knowledge that lures the mind to seek peace and security outside of the covenant and looks for rest in the resolve of unpleasant circumstances. Verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All honor and glory is bestowed upon God, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who has given us this blessed covenant and equipped us with all we need to walk in righteousness. in Hebrews 8 verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." In 1 Peter 1 verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." God has not left us defenseless against the wiles of Satan, but has equipped us with spiritual tools so that we may be able to walk in victory as we overcome self, Satan, and the world by putting on the whole armor of God. So let's turn to Ephesians 6 verse 10 and read what Apostle Paul has to say about the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6 verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Let's turn to Jude to understand and to see an example of what Apostle Paul means when he speaks about the wiles of Satan. In chapter 1 verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained in this condemnation ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So we can better understand the wiles of Satan to be a murmuring of others against the truth, and even ourselves in our own minds murmuring against the righteous judgments of God. Let's continue now in Ephesians 6 verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints." This is our charity that we speak each day as we offer prayers unto the Lord for one another. Okay, coming back to Ephesians 1, we're going to continue in verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we may be holy and without blame before him in love." Here Apostle Paul is referring to the consenters who were in agreement with God before the foundation of the world. So because of their obedience to God's plan, they can stand holy before him. By laboring in their priesthood, as they remain diligent with that which God has provided for their overcoming, as they choose to separate themselves from the world unto God's holy covenant knowledge. Verse 5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." It was always God's plan to birth children in his image, and he achieved this through the covenant of Jesus Christ. This is his good pleasure. God's purpose for the 12 elements of the gospel is to give us the language of the covenant of Jesus Christ, to give us eyes to see Christ and the ability to understand how to take on the likeness of Christ, as the foundation of the elements gives life to our faith. By this we are empowered to overcome self, Satan, and the world, as we draw from the anointing to serve God in righteousness. The covenant is the womb of our faith, and Christ is developed in us while we are in the womb of covenant, so we can see God's plan unfolding in the children of obedience as they walk with the anointing to birth the likeness of Christ, thus making them worthy of the adoption and the inheritance. The word predestinated, determined in advance by divine will or inevitable it will happen, shows us that God is fully in control of his plan. Adoption, the act of legally taking someone's child and bringing them up as your own, or the act or fact of choosing to take up, follow, or use something as your own. This reminded me of how we choose to labor with the knowledge of Christ and then reciprocate it back to God. Through charity, this makes covenant knowledge our confession. It is God's will to adopt us, the righteous, unto his household. This tells us it is part of his plan, for we follow the plan and pattern of God for the purpose of redemption. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the Beloved. We can only come to God through the covenant of Jesus Christ, for Christ is the door unto the Father. In John 14 verse 6, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what Jesus was saying here is that there is only one way to know and have access to God, and that is through him. Now let's clear up some misunderstandings. You cannot have access to God by just acknowledging that you believe in Jesus or by just using his name, yet continuing to do your own thing that makes you feel spiritual. You cannot serve God through vain imaginations. A word I received was, we cannot use the name of Jesus as a brand name for a boast. Only those that walk in covenant and are engrafted in the vine of Christ through the activity of their priesthood are able to say that they know the Father. It explains it very clearly in John 14 verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. To the praise of the glory of his grace is in fact so beautifully said. Praise means expresses one's respect and gratitude towards something or someone. Glory of his grace speaks of the power of what grace has been established to achieve, which is to strengthen the will, bring equity to the soul and spirit, give us single and sober-mindedness, nourish the heart, enlarge the heart, keep the heart rooted in Christ, draw faith from the heart, and to give us a heart to perceive Christ. These powers assist us to walk upright before God, and through our priesthood we celebrate our union with God, our Heavenly Father, as we conform to the law of grace and truth. Last night I had a dream. I was on my way home, but my house was situated on a one-way road. So, in order to get home, I had to go around the block to enter the road from the other side. For if I entered from the wrong side, I would be breaking the rules of the road. On reflection, the one way reminded me of covenant, and that there is only one way back to the bosom of our Heavenly Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Okay, let's continue in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. God has sprinkled the blood of Jesus upon the sanctified tools of the covenant, and they are government, truth and spirit, prayer, preaching and prophecy, the gifts, the callings and the graces of God. We are instructed by stewardship to use these sanctified tools for the regeneration of our souls and the renewing of our minds. In Exodus 24, verse 6 to 8, we see the type and shadow of how Moses sprinkled the blood on the altar and on the people. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said all that the Lord has said, we will do, and be obedient. But we know they were not obedient, for in the first covenant we could see the weakness of the flesh. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. We know that we have a new and better covenant, that the blood of Jesus was shed for. In Hebrews 8 verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For by grace we are saved. God makes known to us the terms of the forgiveness of sin. And in Psalms 103 verse 12 we read, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. But this does not apply to all who read this verse. For God is very clear who are to benefit, and we read it in verse 18 of the same chapter. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And in 1 John 1 verse 9, Apostle John continues to explain as he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is through the knowledge of the covenant that we have our sins forgiven as we walk in obedience. Let's read what Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 1 verse 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How blessed are we to have the restored knowledge of Jesus Christ that gives us direction for faith. In verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Praise God, he abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Wisdom, the quality of having experience and knowledge and good judgment. Prudence, an act of showing care and thought for the future. If we think of these two words, then we can see God's provision for our salvation in the holy knowledge of the covenant and in the provision of stewardship to unlock the mystery of Christ to us who believe. Verse 9. having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. This verse says it very plainly, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Once again, we can look at Moses as an example. God did not just give the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel, but rather he gave it to his elect steward to give to the people and to oversee his covenant, that all may walk in obedience. So too, in the second covenant, God gave the knowledge to the apostles to give to all who come into covenant, and now God is still following that same pattern, for he appointed a steward to break open the knowledge of the covenant of Jesus Christ, which has been lost because of disobedience, but now has been restored unto all who are willing to come into covenant and walk in obedience. No man can just pick up the Bible and understand the mystery of Christ in his own wisdom. God does not work outside of his framework, for we see unrighteous ministers using the Bible as precept and line to sow Satan's deception into the minds of the ignorant. But today, God has restored that knowledge unto his steward, and today he has made provision for all that wish to walk in obedience to come into covenant and be saved. We are fast approaching the time of the rapture. This is when God will gather together in one everyone that has Christ in his soul. For God is already separating the wheat from the tares. In Matthew 13 verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We are all still here on this earth, growing together, but through covenant we can see how God is bringing separation from the consenters who labor in their priesthood to the protesters who continue to murmur and follow after their own hearts. Only God knows the very hour in which he has elected to rapture the true church unto himself, gather us into his barns. But we are to make sure that we are ready to return to his bosom. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, which is charity, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. So we are to stand holy before God, having our vessels full of faith. We are to labor at the altar of Christ daily, studying the holy knowledge of the covenant, for the truth washes us from the dead works of the flesh. This is why Apostle Paul encourages us in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, not allowing Satan's deception to cause us to revert back to the path of the inclination, but to remain steadfast as we reflect, rehearse, and reciprocate unto God until the day of his coming. And in closing, I just want to read Matthew 6 verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This speaks of our inheritance, which is eternal life. Thank you for listening. Once again, this is Apostle Patricia Apollo. I encourage you to begin a covenant relationship with God today. And if anyone would like to learn more about God's restored government or how to transition into covenant, please reach out to me on our website at www.s8w.org. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.